This is Money Stories, Episode 1, From Debt to Ministry, with John and Evelyn Bean. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Money Stories, a podcast where I interview fellow Catholics and Christians so we can all learn from their personal money stories. I'm Caitlin Kano, a wife, mom, financial counselor, and student of all things stewardship. Today, I'll be interviewing John and Evelyn Bean, co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries. I learned so much from this conversation, and I hope you enjoy it as well. Our first guests for Compass Catholic Money Stories are John and Evelyn Bean, and they are appropriate first guests because they are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries. And you may already know them from the Compass Catholic Manage Your Money God's Way podcast. So welcome, John and Evelyn.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you for being my first guest.
We're honored.
This is going to be a fun interview today, and we're excited to kind of learn your personal story and the history of how you came about developing this ministry that's made such a difference in so many people's lives. So I'm excited to hear your personal story and then also talk about the ministry going forward. So going into that, can you tell me about your history, about how you became interested in biblical financial principles?
Well, we became interested when we had done Man's Way for so long and it failed us. I was totally focused on money. I wanted to be unbelievably rich, and I wanted to be able to leave a huge legacy, not just for my son, but for my grandsons and grandchildren and grandchildren's grandchildren. And so I was focused on money. I tried to start my own business, and that did not go well, to be polite about it. We lost about $250,000, and when the money ran out, we still had credit cards, so everything was still good till we ran up about $35,000 worth of credit card debt, plus we had a home mortgage, plus we had two car loans. And there was no money in the bank. All that strife, that financial strife, was really tearing at our marriage. And we just kind of hit a bottom point.
Yeah, and that was 30 years ago, 30 more year, plus years ago. So, you know, the amount of money we're talking about was a lot bigger than it seems to be today.
Right, adjusting it for inflation there.
Right. Right. And we were never on the same page about money, but I think this exaggerated the problem because we never really had money discussions before we were married. We just kind of merged our finances, which were minimal to none because we were both in college at that point in time. But we never really had strategic money discussions about how much we were going to save or how we were going to control our spending or what our attitude was toward debt. We just kind of went into the marriage and merged our money and we're having a good time.
And we always made enough money that by the end of the year, and once we got a bonus or a income tax refund or whatnot, we always were back to zero again, other than, you know, a mortgage and a car payment here and there. But then I quit my job, which was a good job, with a Fortune 500 company, and I tried to start this business. And when the money stopped coming in, then everything else started happening.
Well, and that was at the same time we were building our dream house. So he quit his job 2 weeks after we qualified for the mortgage on the dream house. So here we are building this big dream house with a nice big mortgage. And all of a sudden we only had one income plus a lot of debt. And that was not a good place to be.
That's true.
Wow. So it seems like it was just a series of decisions. And you had mentioned that you weren't being strategic about your approach to your decision making. Were these decisions, were there conversations around them, or were these decisions made individually and just let the other person know after the decision was made? How did you approach those kind of decisions?
I don't think there was much conversation. we just kind of, you know, did our stuff. I mean, we did talk about it, but I think we talked in big circles around it. We never got to the center of the circle. And, you know, when you're just beating around the bush is going to survive. And in that case, it was going deeper and deeper into debt, you know. So we, you know, when the point came where things were at an aha moment, Evelyn had received a job offer to move to Orlando. And she finally said, well, John, I'm going and you can come if you want. That was a huge aha moment. It was like, ruh-roh, we better figure this thing out. And obviously I came to Orlando with her, but shortly after we got to Orlando, the first thing that happened is that through our church, we went through a Crucio, 1987 springtime. And then in the fall, and that Crucio, like for me, and it is for most guys, it's not quite as
much of an impact.
Yeah, it doesn't have quite as much of an impact on women as it does on guys, but it was a huge impact. It was slap across the face. And then I went through a Bible study very similar to Compass Catholic, but it wasn't Catholic. And it didn't really make any difference. I was in the Bible and learning what the Bible said about handling money. And that was another slap across the face. You know, wake up call. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, but I don't think it's a train.
That was your guardian angel.
Yes.
Guardian angel there. Well, so it sounds like you had a series of wake-up calls that kind of culminated in you realizing that the your finances had to be based on your faith and having that centered in Christ. And I'm wondering, it sounds like, John, the wake-up call is more on your end, realizing that Evelyn was willing to go to Orlando and be apart for a period of time rather than being together and not dealing with this debt load. And I'm wondering, Evelyn, did you have any aha moments along the way as well? Or was this something that John kind of facilitated for both of you?
I think the basic issue was the fact that we were raised very differently about money. My parents were extremely conservative. We never bought anything unless we had the money. They did the envelope system where, you know, my dad got his paycheck cashed and you put the money in envelopes and that's how much you had to spend on whatever it was that came up. I can remember as a child going next door and borrowing $10 or $20 from the lady next door so we could buy groceries. And then I'd go back and after they got paid, I'd pay the money back. So I had a very conservative lifestyle growing up. And I think that you really were raised differently about money and you were on the more spend and extend yourself side of it. And
yeah, I'm not sure that my parents really spent and extended themselves. They never talked about money ever, ever. The mm-hmm. first time we had any money conversations at all was when I was in junior high school, and my dad said, well, you need to have a budget. You need to learn how to budget your money. And so I'm going to give you money every week that will cover all of your lunches and all of your school clothes and all of the fun things that you want to do. And, you know, it worked. I managed it. I didn't really have a budget. And if there was an expense that I knew that I wanted to have, whether I was going to do something at school or I was going to, buy some clothes or something, then I would not spend a lot of money until I got that, you know, and then, mm-hmm. but I wasn't really budgeting, so to speak. But my parents, other than that, I mean, they never, and as I think back on it, in fact, Evelyn and I were talking about it just the other day. We never went on vacation. We had, my whole time growing up, there was three vacations other than going to see my grandparents. You know, and we went to see my grandparents a couple times a year in the summertime. My sisters and I would go stay with each of my grandparents for a week. And, but we only went on three vacations from the time I can remember until I graduated from high school. So, you know, and I didn't feel bad about that. I didn't even know that people were supposed to go on vacation, you know. I thought vacation was always just going to see grandma. So I was pretty happy about that because I had cousins there and stuff like that. So I'd get to see my cousins and it wasn't a big deal.
So it sounds like you two had very different money personalities coming in from your experiences with your childhood and then also how John learned getting an allowance and having to think about his needs in advance, but it wasn't really a budget. And then you had this period in your marriage where you didn't really have a plan and that led to tremendous debt and stress and Evelyn's willingness to be apart for a period of time just for the sake of making ends meet. When did you realize that new habits had to be formed? I know you participated in the Bible study, but was there any one thing in particular during that Bible study or a conversation you had that you realized you both had to be on this plan together?
Well, I'll speak for myself. After John took the Bible study, he took it with a bunch of guys at a local parish and then brought it back to our parish and we taught it together. And for me, it was more a confirmation of how I was raised. It was like, yeah, I know God owns everything. Yes, I know you're not supposed to spend more than you have. Yes, I know that I'm responsible to be a steward. But when John started acting that way, that's what the turning point was for me, because I could see that you were willing to change. And I think a large part of that was when we were, after we moved to Orlando, he was still trying to start the new business, but it wasn't going well. And he actually got a job delivering the Wall Street Journal at night, you know, driving around like in the middle of the night and throwing the newspaper in garages and stuff on driveways. And that to me said, I'm serious about making this work. I'm serious about keeping my part of the financial commitment in the marriage. And I'm serious about making changes that need to be made.
How about you, John?
Well, I think that there was nothing. It was just a very slow transformation in the Bible study that I was taking. And, you know, we've seen that transformation occur over the years in many, many people. It was kind of a new experience for me, and I think really for us, because Evelyn didn't know she'd already been transformed, and I hadn't been transformed, so I was trying to figure out what's going on. But, that was kind of slow and gradual and that kind of a thing. But I knew that we had to start digging out because neither one of us enjoyed what we were doing. And, you know, once I started the Bible study and started keeping track of every penny that we spent and actually creating and operating through a budget, and we cut out everything, you know, it wasn't a fun time because there was no newspapers, there was no cable TV.
There was no movies. There was no hot dogs at the baseball games for our son.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we didn't spend money on anything and we didn't go out, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we didn't like that and we wanted to fix it and get it right. And so it was a good period from that standpoint. Plus, it was also an excellent period for us from a strengthening our faith, because as we taught the classes and were exposed to more and more and more Bible verses, and we had discussions, and the people around us were asking questions like, why is it this way? Why is it, you know, what? And we didn't always know the answers, so we had to go look them up. And so as a result, our faith grew stronger, you know, each month as we progressed.
Well, and I think that one of the reasons we're passionate about this ministry is because I feel like we've made all the financial mistakes there are to make. So we can help people avoid it if they're willing to open their hearts and their minds. So it's just a sign of God's sense of humor. You know, oh, you guys have financial problems. I think I'll put you in a financial ministry.
Isn't that so funny? Those are so interested in personal finances. We're there because we need to be reminded on a daily basis. When did you come to this moment? Was it a moment or was it just a complete gradual progression when you went beyond financial wellness to stewardship? Was that the entire process or did you have any moment along the way where you realized this is beyond a checking account balance or having an emergency fund? This is related to my faith.
Well, I don't know. You know, it was a gradual process, that's for sure. You know, as I went through the Bible study and we looked at the various things that we were doing with our finances, you know, one of the things that we looked at and we had a lot of discussions over was our generosity, our giving plan. Mm-hmm. And actually, in those early days, we had no plan, which is very much like most people today. They have no plan. They're reactive. If somebody asks for money, they give. And the amount that they give in total throughout the course of a year is generally pretty small. And we were in that club. But as we realized that everything that we had belonged to God, not to us, and, you know, that there's that phrase, how much of God's money are you going to allow God to have, and how much of God's money are you going to keep, you know, we started a process of increasing our giving. And I don't remember the exact numbers right off the top of my head, but it seems to me like we thought we could increase from where we were 0.5% every 6 months until we got to 10%. And we were pretty faithful to do that. And when we got to 10%, we held tight there for a while. But over the last, I don't know.
It keeps increasing.
10 or 15 years, we decided that that wasn't enough. And so we've increased our giving plan beyond that. But
I think the big thing was the stewardship discussion wasn't just about how much to give. It was more about how much to live. And of course, giving is a part of how much you live your faith, but taking care of what God's given you, being grateful for it, being generous in different ways with your time and your talent. You know, stewardship is a whole lifestyle. It's not just about giving money to any specific organization. So that has, I think that started when we took the first Bible study and has just continued to snowball.
Once we started, well, actually, we were giving of our time and our talent even before the Bible study, because our church was just in the process of coming out of the ground when we moved here. And so there was a lot of painting that needed to be done and bushes to be planted and sod to be laid and all those kinds of things. And we were very actively involved in all that. So,
but I think being actively involved is different than doing it as a steward.
Okay.
You know, just the activity is one thing, but doing it because you want to serve God is kind of a different viewpoint. And I think that's the gradual transformation that happened.
So you went through this process and you went through the Bible study and you started developing new habits. What did those new habits look like?
Well, the very first one, and the one that continues even today, is we started keeping track of every penny we spent. And I know that just blows people's minds that anybody would do something as mundane as that. But that is the key to success. If you know where your money's going, every penny of it, then you can make smart, intelligent decisions on whether you really want to spend your money the way you've been spending it. And that's where people who, you know, buy the $5 or $8 cups of coffee in the morning on the way to work, or are eating out lunch every day of every week, and they think they're spending $5, but, you know, how many times can you buy lunch for $5 anywhere? I'm not even sure you can get out of a fast food restaurant for $5 unless you're eating off the dollar menu. But that's going to come to almost $5. So those are the kinds of things that I think that one habit that we created of tracking every penny has formed the basis of our entire financial life.
Well, and it led to other things like making decisions together about if we were spending money on the right places or if we needed to adjust. What was our strategic plan for different things? You know, like the travel we wanted to do, or the updates we wanted to do to the house, or the vacations we take with our family. So knowing where the money was going, we could easily adjust as things needed to be adjusted.
And I'd imagine, because you went from, it sounds like, essentially out of control to really having control over every single penny was going. Was this a daily routine? Did you have a weekly meeting? How could another couple who is feeling out of control right now develop a plan to have as much control as you two have?
Well, that was way back in the old days before computers.
Yeah.
So you were tracking stuff pretty much on a spreadsheet.
I carried a 3x5 card in my pocket. Evelyn had one of those little 3x5 spiral notebooks in her purse. And we either got receipts or we wrote down the amount. And, you know, there was more than one time where the decision was made not to buy something because we didn't want to have to write it down.
Wow.
The household write it down, so we just skip.
So we know what a pain keeping track of any penny could be, because we did it before computers, before
apps,
you know, the credit cards that you could download everything into your bank account. Everything was done basically on paper and pencil.
But it's good we didn't have to do it on a stone tablet.
That's true.
So you had that going for you.
You know? But so I think that that's a key thing. And you know, when you see the success, I mean, we went from basically being down about $450,000 in real dollars of in 1987 to in 2007 to the point where I could retire and become a full-time volunteer, no paycheck, working for the ministry. And then Evelyn joined me in about 5 or 7 years after that. So actually, it was 5 years after that. So, you know, that keeping the pressure on, staying focused on the budget, staying focused on the scriptures. We taught class after class after class after class so we could stay focused on the scriptures and on our budget. And, you know, that's what led to the success that we've had and to the ability for both of us to be retired and still not require a paycheck and be able to serve everybody around us.
Right. And it sounds like you surrounded yourself with a message on a daily basis to keep yourself focused. And is that what kept you motivated on those days you had to say no to hot dogs at a baseball game, or, you know, have to write down every single transaction, no matter how small? Is that what kept you focused, or was there something else that kept you motivated? Because that's a long process. I'd imagine it's not an overnight transformation. It's going to be months, weeks, years for some people. So how would you recommend they stay focused?
Well, part of it was the whole stewardship mindset, you know, understanding that we're steward. And the more we got into that, the more we felt like we needed to be stewards, and the more our friends around us knew what was going on and they would support us. And there were people that we could go to for counsel if we had big decisions to make or questions about different things. So that was part of the process. But I think another part of the process was seeing the progress. You know, once you get that first credit card paid off, it feels like a weight's been lifted. And then when you get the second one paid off, an even bigger weight goes away. So when you start seeing progress, like getting rid of all the credit card payments, getting rid of the car payments, paying off the mortgage, knowing how much your retirement savings is going to help you do God's will in your life when you retire, it was just a whole series of little progresses that led us to have the big progress of starting the ministry.
Right.
I agree with all that.
And you had tracked every expense, but I'd imagine you're also tracking the progress as well. Oh. Am I correct there?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, right. And John, you had said that in 2007, you became a full-time volunteer for the ministry. So kind of shifting the conversation now into growing the ministry and how this came about. Did you have a certain number in mind, or how did you realize you were ready to jump in 2 feet into this ministry as a volunteer?
Well, the people in the ministry had been asking me by 2007, they'd been asking me for over 10 years to become a staff member. And the fact or the act of losing all that money and having to basically start from underground and build it up made me realize that I could never be in a ministry or in any kind of a job where I had to ask people for money that would pay my salary, that would put groceries on the table for me or for my family. So I needed to reach a point where essentially I was at destination seven, or almost at destination seven, that true financial freedom where you basically have no more debts and now you are going to apply your daily activities to what you feel God's calling you for.
And destination seven is on our money map, which you can find on our CompassCatholic.org website.
Okay. So you got into destination seven, and it sounds like you were pursuing financial independence before it was cool, right? Before they had a huge Facebook following and their own podcast. And you pursued this where you realized you could be sufficient and you guys would be fine and you're not going to be reliant on someone else for a paycheck. Was there a dollar amount in mind, or was there any leap of faith that you had to take that this was going to work out for you?
My leap was bigger than his, because I kept thinking, what if? So it made it easy because we knew exactly how much we were spending. I mean, we had all those years of tracking our spending, so we knew exactly what it cost us to live the way we live. And when we were talking about it, we did some what if scenarios. You know, what if we don't get Social Security? What if the stock market tanks and we lose half of our investments? What if we have a serious illness? And we did some what if scenarios, and it was basically building a crisis budget is what we did. So we knew if this happened, then we would adjust this way. If that happened, we would adjust this way. And having that plan, walking through that plan proactively to know what the adjustments were that were going to have to be made in case this scenario happened, just gave me a whole sense of peace, because I'm the worrier in the family. And especially after what happened, you know, when we were moving to Orlando, it just gave me a sense of, okay, even if it gets scary, we know how to adjust and it's not an unknown. We can cut this, we can change that, we can do this. And that just gave me a great sense of peace. And I think you were more comfortable with it earlier than I was.
Well, beginning in about the year 2000, 2001, sometime in that time frame, I started working on a spreadsheet.
And oh, yeah, the one we have to die spreadsheet.
The spreadsheet calculated all the money that we had saved. It calculated what our monthly and annual expenses were, and the income that we had coming in, whether it was from a paying job or whether it was from a calculated investment rate of return. And it also calculated in inflation. And we both kind of speak in spreadsheets anyway, or we think in spreadsheets. And so I worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. And it kept telling me the same thing, that the amount of money that we had saved at that point in time was enough to carry us through in pretty much anything, if anything happened. And after we'd played with that spreadsheet and I'd been showing Evelyn, says, look, we can do this. Look, we can do this, is when we really came up with, okay, if the stock market tanks by 50%, Social Security is eliminated, or, you know, whatever, how will we adjust our budget? How much money will we have left? And how much of that money, how long will that last? And we carried it out to age 95 or 100 and, you know, took money out every month for living expenses and that kind of stuff, and had a rate of return in there, conservative. I think we varied between 5% and 6%. And we had inflation calculated in there, which raised the amount that we were having to take out to cover inflation. And, you know, the money kept showing up that we could live until we were 94, 95, 96, just to kind of depended on how much above the calculated rate of return that we had earned in any given year. So that's why we called it our When We Have to Die spreadsheet. It's when the money runs out, you know.
Is that spreadsheet still active, or is that just one that you had to use to?
Absolutely, it's still active. And we have a financial planner, and we see him 2 or 3 times a year. And when we go to see him, he wants to see my spreadsheet before we get into anything that he's calculated.
How often are you more correct than him?
They're on target most of the time.
On target.
We run together.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Wow. So you mentioned you do have a financial planner, and I know some people feel like they don't want to spend the money on having a financial planner. Can you tell me about the importance of that for you? Why did you two decide to have an outside opinion, a professional outside opinion on your financial situation?
It was just another, you know, in the Bible study, we're talking about seeking godly counsel. Mm-hmm. And the financial planner we go to is Christian-based. They're not Catholic, but they're Christian. And every time we meet with them, they start in with prayer. And when we met with them for the first time, just to do a look-see, like a meet and greet, and then we came back, they came back to us with their plan. It was all based on biblical principles. So that really reiterated our purpose in our ministry, and they always, you know, support what we do as far as the ministry. So I think it was a good match just to get another set of eyes on things and another opinion, especially from a biblical standpoint.
And I think that the other piece to that is there is so much involved in being in the market and being invested. And there's so many things to keep track of that even somebody who has a good working knowledge, and I did have a very good working knowledge of how the market worked and that kind of thing. It takes so much time to devote to understanding things as they change, just like the things that have been happening, you know, with this coronavirus and how the market has been up and down and up and down. And, you know, it's more than a full-time job to understand that kind of stuff. So having somebody who that's all they do, and they've got a team of experts who are doing nothing but watching the market and that kind of stuff, we appreciate the effort that we don't have to put into it. It costs us a little bit of money, but I think it's well worth the effort. So,
very good. And the ministry focuses on, well, we have the Bible studies, correct? And we have principles that we introduce in the Bible studies. And you're mentioning avoiding debt because it can be distracting and cause stress, having a plan. We have all these principles. How do you take those principles that you teach and apply it towards growing the ministry?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. Well, I guess the first thing is, just as we teach in the Bible study that God owns everything that we have personally, we fully believe that God is in control of the ministry. I mean, there's been too many times where we were heading in one direction and God sent us in another direction, or when we needed something and God provided it at the last minute. One of the stories I love to tell is that when we got ready to print the first Bible study book, we were $5,000 short of covering the cost of the book. And by that time, we were reasonably settled financially, and we had money in savings. So we decided we were going to take our money out of savings to cover the cost of printing, and God would figure it out. The next day, we got a check in the mail from a donor for $5,000. So that was just a confirmation to us that this is not our ministry. It's God's ministry. And whatever happens, it happens in God's time, in His way. And we're constantly surprised by what happens.
And, you know, we are very careful with the money that has been donated mm-hmm. for us. You know, we don't take salaries, so the money goes to cover operating expenses, being able to exhibit at conferences. And we do have four part-time people now. It's changed over the last year. You know, there's just so much to do with the ministry that the two of us don't have enough arms and legs to make it happen. And as a result, we've been very careful to keep cash available. You know, we're not spending down all of our donations every year to the point where in December we're scrambling to make a paycheck or something like that. We're just very careful with how much money we spend and how much we keep in the bank. And I think that's something that we've learned because of the ministry. You know, 33 years ago, I might not have been able to do that. Probably wouldn't have been able to do that. But today we can do that. So we try to be very careful and try to find, if we've got some special projects or something, we try to find some funding for that special project, so that we're not dipping into any cash reserve that might jeopardize the ministry.
Right. So it sounds like those principles are applied, and it sounds like your donors also probably appreciate the fact that you treat their dollars as stewards.
I hope they do.
Right. And you've seen many people go through the Bible studies, and if someone's not familiar, Faith and Money Matters is a 6-week Bible study?
Yes, 6 weeks.
6-week Bible study about biblical principles and how they can be applied to our personal finances. And without talking about someone's name personally or jeopardizing any of their confidentiality, do you have any transformation stories you can share where you witnessed someone have that aha moment as well?
I think one of the stories that we heard recently, which was just such a blessing to us, was that we know a young couple. And they, in a couple of months, had a baby, bought a house, and lost their job.
Wow.
And they told us that because they've been exposed to these financial principles from the Bible, that they were able to adjust their spending and not get into any trouble with running up credit card debt because they've learned how to adjust and how to manage these crises that come up in our lives.
And that they had an emergency fund.
So that was a big blessing just to hear from a young couple like that, that took the thing seriously and avoided financial disaster, because when a lot of people get into that situation, they're just going to fund their lifestyle with their credit cards, and that just causes a mess. It's just not good.
So, kind of like what we did.
How about you, John? Do you have any stories you can share?
There was a couple that was in our class real early on in the ministry. We tell a story. I went to their house to help them, because one of the first things we do is make sure everybody knows how much money they're spending every month. And, you know, you got to keep track. And after the first 4 weeks, they added everything up and they were spending, $400 or $500, $600 more than they were earning in the month. And they had four girls and a baby boy. And I went over to their house to kind of help them work through how they were going to resolve this issue. And the baby boy was 6 months old. He sat on my lap for about 3 hours that night as we worked through the process. And last fall, we went to his wedding.
Wow.
And, this family just really absorbed everything that they learned in the Bible study. They taught or facilitated some classes. And one of the things that they created early on was a God account. So that was where all their giving went. And once they establish a God account, they never lacked for money to give in any situation that they felt where they needed to be generous, whether it was to buy a neighbor medicine because the neighbor couldn't afford the medicine. It didn't matter. They never ran out of money in God's account.
Wow, I've never thought about naming one of my budget categories as God's money. We have it labeled generosity or giving, but to name it God provides a whole different...
Yeah, it's a whole different viewpoint.
Yeah, a whole different viewpoint. That's really a cool story. And now this message has probably been spread to their 5 children, right? It's going to be a generational change to their approach to money. And to wrap up here, if you can give one piece of advice to our listeners, what would it be?
For me, I think that advice is really very simple, and it's not earth-shattering. It's to track every penny. You can't even get started until you begin to track your pennies. And if you track your pennies and you're careful and you're smart, you'll have the success that you're looking for.
Well, to add on to that, I would say you can sum it up by saying that you need to manage your money so it doesn't manage you.
Can you go into that a little bit more?
Well, if you're not managing your money, then your lifestyle is going to be dictated by what you can afford. And what you can afford might not be where your heart is, where your passion is, or where God wants you to be.
So it goes back to having a plan and then having that plan being centered in Christ and our faith.
Correct.
Great. Well, thank you for speaking with me today. I really appreciate it. And I'm so excited to kind of introduce you guys personally to our listeners. And like I said before, John and Evelyn have a weekly podcast. It's called Manage Your Money God's Way. And that is every Wednesday. It's posted. And you can find it on compasscatholic.org or on Podbean or wherever you find a podcast. And so thank you so much. I appreciate you too.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. Yes, we do.
All right.
Unbelievably.
All right. And have a good day.
Take care.
God bless.
For more information about Compass Catholic Ministries, including the various Bible studies and services that we offer, please visit compasscatholic.org. If you enjoy Money Stories, please share it with a friend. You may also like Compass Catholic's other podcast, Manage Your Money God's Way, available wherever you get your podcast. If you have any comments about today's show or suggestions for future shows, please email us at info@compasscatholic.org. Thanks for listening and God bless.